Many of you might be familiar with a well-known song. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but not yet. It has begun to look a lot like Advent, especially around the church. One of the traditions of Advent is the lighting of the candles on the Advent wreath, and I would like to thank all who participated over the season. This play takes place usually during the four Sundays of Advent and also on Christmas Eve. And in churches where there is no Christmas Eve service, it's usually on the first Eucharist on Christmas morning. I must say that this tradition exists also in homes across Christendom. If you look at the candles, you notice that there's a white Advent candle which represents the birth of Christ, the purity and the lack of sin. And this is usually lit on Christmas Eve. The other candles are often described as candles of hope, peace, love, and joy. You'll also notice that three candles are blue, and one is rose pink. And today we lit the rose-colored candle for the very first time this Advent. One explanation for the rose-colored candle is that Advent is a time of joyful expectation and eager preparation for the holy season of Christmas. And as we go through Advent, preparing for the coming of Christ, the third Sunday today offers us a brief break to focus on the uplifting, upcoming joyful celebration of the Nativity of Christ. It's like doing a marathon, and along the way, you take a brief break. We hear that message of joy in the second reading for today as St. Paul insists that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near. And you'd recognize that as a paraphrase of verses 4 and 5 of Philippians 4. So then, the wreath with five candles is one image, one sign that Advent is here. But another sign is the color blue. If you look around, you see lots of blue, don't you? In the church, however, violet has been the traditional color of Lent and Advent because they're both considered to be penitential seasons before Christmas, before Easter and Christmas. However, in recent time, many parts of the Canadian church have turned to the color blue to emphasize the kingship of Christ in Advent. And you'd recall that in the last Sunday before Advent, we celebrated the feast of Christ the King as we anticipate the coming of our Savior in his incarnation and also at the end of time. So here we are in the middle of Advent, preparing with all the complexities and uncertainties in our lives. And for many, this is the time to do an assessment, to take stock of our situation. Now, if you are a good planner, you're perhaps quite detail-oriented and organized. You have probably sent out all your Christmas cards. You have wrapped all the gifts. And then there are people like me, those of us who could use a few more weeks or probably a few more months as we realize that some things just won't get done. So how are we really doing as we come to the final 12 days of preparation? Do we hear the voice of John the Baptist telling us to bear fruits worthy of repentance? Or as the Good News Bible puts it, Do we hear John the Baptist saying that we should do those things that will show that we have turned from our sins? My friends, as we continue our Advent journey, what can we learn from the scripture readings today? I want to make a few suggestions. In the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, perhaps he's encouraging us, as he encouraged the people of his time, to gather and to pray for salvation. And perhaps he's reminding us today that God's love for his people is so deep and so genuine that when we ask for God's forgiveness and draw close to him and follow the teachings of Scripture, we could expect to be blessed abundantly. From the second reading in Paul's letter to the Philippians, which incidentally, it's believed that Paul wrote this letter from prison, he encourages the Christians in Philippi to trust God with all their worries and concerns in the hope that they too will feel God's joy and peace through his love for us. Paul is encouraging us to share our burdens with Jesus and to trust in God instead of worrying alone. And we know that's not always that easy. But eventually, sharing our burdens, leaving our burdens at the foot of the cross, could actually bring peace in our lives. But today, there are challenging words from the gospel reading. As John the Baptist teaches that preparation for the coming of Christ involves some evidence that we have been bearing fruits of justice, fruits of generosity, and fruits of integrity as disciples of Christ. He presents us with a challenge that preparation for the coming of Christ during Advent involves sharing what we have with others and treating each other fairly and with dignity. He tells us how to share God's love, and in response to the question by people in the crowd, who incidentally posed the question, what then should we do? John gave some concrete examples. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. And of course, to the tax collectors, the government officials, the people in authority, this is what he said. Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And to the church, he's saying to us, collect at least a tithe. Don't press for more, but if they're given, we thank God for that. To the soldiers, he pleaded, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. John the Baptist also made it clear that he was not the Messiah, and that he was sent by God to give advance notice of the coming of Christ. And in fact, John responded to their queries about his identity with this assurance, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Recognize that as Luke 3:16. So some lessons from John's life. Firstly, God's most faithful servants are often ordinary people like us who make themselves available to him. And John humbly accepted his role in God's plan. Secondly, like John, we must be clear about our identity as servants of God. And thirdly, like John, we should endeavor to teach others through the example of our own lives. The way we live is often a reflection of our beliefs. What we love and what we think is most important. And we too can be instruments of God's love for the world if we can only trust God completely and let Him work through us. So let us keep living for Him, trusting in Him, while we watch and wait patiently for His plan. For our God is faithful, and we know that we can depend on Him. For many Christians and seekers, John addresses a fundamental issue about Advent, and that is the real presence of God among us. Granted, Advent focuses on the promise of Christ's coming, but sometimes we could become so preoccupied with this that we could overlook the reality that God is already in our midst. Consequently, we may run the risk of missing what God is doing right now and right here. Paul's words, "The Lord is near," reveal how close we are, even as we watch and wait during the season of Advent. We get a similar message from John the Baptist, who proclaimed the coming of Christ. Christ who will do much more in baptizing with the Holy Spirit's fire of love. And yet, in making this proclamation, John continued the immediate task of sharing the good news to everyone. So my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, may God, through His love, through His grace, and through His compassion, make our winding roads straight and our rough paths smooth throughout this holy season of Advent. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.